It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today is our final Talk of Iowa summer camp episode. And whether it's helping a neighbor pick up downed tree branches after a storm, delivering groceries for someone who can't leave their home, or protesting for a policy or against a system that you believe is unfair, you can make a difference. And you don't have to be a grown-up to do it. This is Camp Make a Difference. And our camp counselor today is Mary Beth Tinker. On December 16th, 1965, Mary Beth Tinker, who was 13 years old at the time, her brother John, and their friend Christopher Eckhart were among a small group of students in Des Moines who wore black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War and support a Christmas truce called for by Robert Kennedy. Five students, including Tinker, were suspended for their demonstration, and that incident led to Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District, a landmark Supreme Court decision that guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. Mary Beth Tinker has made a difference in a lot of ways during her life, in her career as a pediatric nurse and her work as an activist and a free speech advocate, and she is on the line with me now. Mary Beth, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you again. I haven't talked to you since I was there for the anniversary of the Tinker ruling.
Right, the 50-year anniversary of the Tinker ruling.
Exactly.
So, Mary Beth, before we talk about what young people can do today, I do want to go back and revisit your story because I know that we have a number of listeners who don't know the history of Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District. Let's go back to 1965. How did the idea of wearing black armbands to school come about?
Yes, well, in a way, I definitely was inspired by the young people of the civil rights movement, like those in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963, who led the children's crusade there, the black students who rallied and marched against racism in Birmingham as students, as they were doing really all over. And so when four of those little girls were murdered then by the Ku Klux Klan in Birmingham, there was a bomb planted in the headquarters of the children's church. It was the 16th Street Baptist Church by the Ku Klux Klan. And four little girls were murdered, Cynthia, Addie Mae, Carol, and Denise. And they were about the same ages as me and my sisters. We were living in Des Moines, me and my siblings, actually. And so that was the first time that we knew anything about black armbands, because in response, James Baldwin called for people all over the country to wear black armbands to mourn for the little girls, the black girls who had been killed. They're speaking up and standing up for what's right. So we had a memorial service in Des Moines, and people came, but that we wore the armbands out of school at the memorial service. So then 1964 also was a big time for students speaking up and standing up, and there was something called Freedom Summer, where students, most college students, went from all over the country to Mississippi to help register African-American voters that year who were being terrorized again by the white supremacists. And so that year, 1964, my parents actually went there to Mississippi also. After three of the college students, the students were murdered. Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman were murdered that year. In those mighty times that are so much in many ways like the times today that young people are growing up in and that we are all living in, these really intense times. But that year, 1964, after those three were murdered, my parents went to Mississippi because my dad was a preacher there in Des Moines, a Methodist preacher, and he said, you know, we can't just stand by and watch these things happen. It's part of our faith to take action. And so that's what they did, and they came home and told us kids what had happened there in Mississippi. Well, the very same day that summer that the bodies of those three civil rights workers, the young people, were discovered in Mississippi off the coast of Vietnam, a U.S. Navy ship claimed that it was attacked, and the USS Maddox, and it turns out it was not attacked, and there's a lot of history there, but I spend quite a bit of time with veterans from the war, and it's well accepted now that that ship was not attacked, but it did not stop the U.S. Congress from voting almost unanimously to pass the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and start sending thousands more soldiers to Vietnam. So all of this was going on, and us kids were just getting sadder and sadder, and we didn't know what to do. But then in November of 1965, there was a national rally against the war in Washington, D.C., and a bunch of people from Iowa went to it, including my mother and my sister and my brother John and Chris Eckhart and his mother and some other people. Some were Quakers. By this time, our family had gotten more involved with the Quakers. And so on the way home from that, they were talking about what could we do back in Iowa to speak up against the war. And that's when the idea of wearing black armbands came up. And so when they got back to Des Moines, they kept talking about it. And the idea caught on with a group of high school students starting at Roosevelt High School. And then it kind of spread. And so that's how we heard about it. And I was just feeling really sad about the way the world was going. First of all, about Birmingham and these little children, and now war all the time. And I spend a lot of time with kids now today, and I know there are so many young people that feel that way too, just frustrated and sad and don't really know what to do.
But there's so much news coming at us all the time, that feeling of being sad and hopeless and helpless to do anything about it. That was the way you were feeling then?
Yeah, that's the way I felt. And then when I heard about that the students were going to wear black armbands to school at Christmas time, that Christmas, to say how they felt, I thought that was something that I could do. And so that's how it all came to happen.
When you decided to wear that black armband, now you weren't alone in doing that, but were you scared about wearing the black armband to school? Were you worried about how your teachers or your administrators might react?
Yes, I was very nervous and scared. I was 13. I was in eighth grade. It was December of 1965, and I was generally a shy person anyway. I was one of the youngest of six children, but I heard about the idea, and I certainly wasn't alone. There was a small group of students who was going to do this, and also my parents were involved in peace efforts, and they believed, as I said, in speaking up for what you believe in and taking action to change what is wrong. And so that is the way that I had been raised. It really, a lot of it came from my faith background, that we were raised in the church and then later involved with the Quakers. So that helped me also. But yeah, I was really scared and nervous. And when I got to school, my friend Connie tried to tell me, you know, not to do it. I was going to get in trouble because the principals had heard about our plan and made a rule against armbands. About 2 days before we were going to wear the armbands, it came out in the Des Moines Register in the paper that a rule had been passed against wearing black armbands. So then I was really nervous and scared.
Right, because you were defying that new rule. And I'm going to guess that you weren't a student who got in trouble very often.
No, not at all. I was kind of, you know, I was one of these kids that, you know, was sort of a teacher's pet, in fact, in some ways. You know, my dad was a preacher, and he was well-known and respected in the community. And, you know, I did my schoolwork, and I excelled. And I was white, and I think that probably made a big difference, too. And it was kind of going against things. My dad didn't think that we should do it. He heard about the idea, too. But because he said, you know, my dad was kind of conservative in a lot of the heat. He said, you know, these principals, they have a job to do, and it's not so easy, and there's a rule against this. And but, you see, kids are so persuasive. And so we said to our dad, but, Dad, you taught us to stand up for our conscience, which he had, because he had some friends that had been killed in World War II. And he always taught us that if you don't speak up for your conscience, for what you believe is right, then we could have the Nazis in charge, like they tried to do in World War II. And so it's very, very important to stand up for what's right and to do something. And as I found out later, throughout my life, it's a good way of life. That, yes, there are risks, and it can be scary, and you probably will be nervous and scared when you speak up about something, but it's a good way of life, and you meet people, and it feels so good, too. Later in life, I became a nurse working mostly with kids and teenagers, and I found out that when you speak up about things and take action as a kid, a child, a teenager, it feels really good. And it's actually good for your health. And that's why I started traveling around the country after I had been working many years as a nurse in clinics and hospitals. And I said, you know, I need to really just encourage kids to take a stand and speak up, because I think it's the best thing that they can do for their health.
Mary Beth Tinker, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to meet a young person in Iowa who has been making a real difference. And we want to hear from you this hour. Who have you seen that has been making a difference? What have you done to make a difference? You can call us 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me this hour, our Camp Make a Difference Counselor, Mary Beth Tinker. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, it's our final Talk of Iowa summer camp. This is Camp Make a Difference. And our camp counselor today is Mary Beth Tinker. And back in 1965, Mary Beth Tinker, along with her brother John and friends, wore black armbands to school. They wore those armbands to protest the Vietnam War and to support a Christmas truce called for by Robert Kennedy. They got in trouble. They got suspended for their demonstration, and that incident led to the Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District decision. It's a landmark Supreme Court decision that guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. And this hour, we're talking about how young people can stand up and make a difference. And we'd love to hear your stories. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we are having some trouble reaching some of our other hoped-for guests this hour. As you probably know, Mary Beth, Iowa was hit by a terrible, terrible storm yesterday. So communications are really difficult in Iowa today. But I'll also tell you that already, because of this storm, we have seen people coming together and we have seen young people making a difference. One of my favorite posts that I saw a friend make yesterday, she said, there are roving bands of teenagers and college students out clearing tree limbs from people's houses and yards, and I've never been more proud to be an Iowan. So it doesn't have to be political action to make a difference. Young people can stand up and do what's right in any scenario. And Mary Beth, you were just talking about how you feel like that's a good way to live, and it makes you feel good about the decisions that you make. It also takes a lot of courage. Even if it's not a political action, it can take a lot of courage to stand up and say, hey, I think that people should be kind to each other, or I want to help fix this problem that I see. What would you say to young people about finding the courage to act?
Yes, I was so sorry to hear about the storm there in Iowa. There are worsening storms all over the world, and students are taking action about that, not only the after effects, and it's heartening to hear so many students in Iowa that are doing that and helping each other, but also to get to the root of the problem and some of the cause of these worsening storms and the environmental causes, and so many young people are involved with taking care of Earth and being kind to the Earth and trying to undo some of the damage that humans have done by taking advantage of resources and being uncaring towards Mother Earth. So it's really heartening to see young people looking at the causes of these, some of these terrible storms, but also helping to heal and put things back together afterwards. But yes, kindness and how we treat each other, how we treat all creatures, the animals. And a lot of kids are involved with animal rights issues, and I know that's been very important in Iowa too. My family live in a rural area of Missouri, and it's been a huge issue with some of these concentrated agricultural feeding operations where the hogs and the chickens are treated very unfairly. So, yeah, being kind not only to each other but also to the animals, the creatures, and Earth. I think it's very important, and in my mind it really is political because it has to do with the laws and policies of our society also.
There are so many young people that I've had an opportunity to interview over the years who've made a real difference. And I just want to mention some of them as we go through the hour. Again, with our technical problems, maybe we won't get very many of them on the air, but I'll still tell you about some of them. One of the students that I would have loved to have on the air today is a young man named Gideon Kidd. And he started just for fun, a Twitter handle called I've Pet That Dog, because he loves dogs and he wanted to share his joy in petting and meeting new dogs with people. So this went viral and he has followers all over the world, but he's also a kind-hearted young man who decided to use his popularity and his platform to help get dogs that need homes adopted. So he frequently features dogs at animal shelters and at animal rescues, encouraging people to help them. And he sometimes features some special needs dogs as well who have recovered from some injuries and need a little extra love in their new home. And it's a beautiful way to make a difference. Of course, he's helping people by making them smile every day with his posts, but also honestly saving lives of dogs through that action too. But let's get back to that idea of courage, Mary Beth, because it's hard to stand up and say what you believe or what you think, especially when people around you maybe have different ideas.
Yes, it is. I know, courage. Well, as it turns out, I mean, even a tiny bit of courage can go a long way, because I was really nervous and scared. And then when the principal asked me to take off the armband, the vice principal, and said, you know, this is against the rules and you have to take off your armband, I mean, I was really scared, and I did take off my armband, and I learned a very important lesson that day, though, that you don't have to be the most courageous person in the world to make a difference. You can be you. You can be scared. You can be nervous, but just step up and try and just do the little that you can. And also, it gets easier with time.
After you were told to take off that armband, tell me what happened to you and your brother John and your friend Chris Eckhart and others who had decided to take this action.
Well, then I was suspended. Anyway, even though I did that, John, the next day, my brother was suspended from North High School, and Chris Eckhart over at Roosevelt High School. There were five kids that were suspended: Bruce Clark, Chris Singer, my brother Leonard, who lives in Des Moines right now, and a shout out to Leonard. He was already grown up, so he was out of high school. But there were just a small number of students suspended, and it probably would have been the end of it, except for the Iowa ACLU, which offered that, you know, they've been the, well, the ACLU has been around for 100 years. This is their 100th anniversary. And in fact, there's a really good movie out right now about them. It's called The Fight. So they are all about defending the Bill of Rights and the rights of people, and especially the First Amendment. So they heard about what had happened, and they stand up for the rights of children. This is really a children's rights issue, children and teenagers. And it's an international issue, actually. But they offered to help us, so the ACLU offered to help, and they said, now first you've got to negotiate with the school board, which we did, and we tried to change their mind, but they would not change their mind. So then the ACLU said, well, we're going to have to take this over to the other branch of government, the judicial branch, and take this to court. So that's what happened, and that's how we ended up in court.
How long were you suspended for? How long were you home?
We were suspended until we would go back to school without the armbands. So it was right before Christmas vacation, so we were out maybe about a week. And then when Christmas vacation was over, we went back, I think, a couple days after Christmas vacation. But, I mean, the worst thing about it was that the war kept building up. And I know there are so many people out there who have been affected by the Vietnam War, and it was very emotional, very upsetting for so many people, and people's families and friends were injured and some killed, and of course, and so that was the worst thing about the whole experience, was that we weren't able to stop the war. We weren't able to even really slow down the war. It kept going for another 10 years. And even when we won the case in 1969, it was hard to be real happy because that was one of the worst years for the Vietnam War.
And so much time had passed between when you had made your protest and when you won that Supreme Court case. And this is a Supreme Court case that students everywhere rely on every day to publish what they feel is important to publish in their school newspapers, to wear a T-shirt that expresses something that they believe in, to engage in a protest. So to speak up in little ways and big ways as well. At that time, though, so you must have been about 17 when the decision came down. Did you have a real understanding of how important that decision was? It didn't do anything about the war, but it made it possible for students to speak their minds.
I had no idea how important the case was going to be and that it would still be cited today for students who are speaking up about different things, whether it's wearing a shirt with Black Lives Matter, as Mariah Haver did in Arizona not too long ago, or students publishing in the school newspapers. I mean, there's a lot of controversy about school newspapers. Luckily, Iowa is one of 13 states where students have more rights to publish in school newspapers. So that's something to be proud of. But there's a campaign all over the country to improve the rights of school journalists. It's called New Voices, and students can check that out too. But yeah, I had no idea. I found out later, though, that that is usually how history is made, by ordinary people like us doing small actions and not even being aware all the time of how history is going to look back and how it's going to affect things for a long time.
Was there a moment in the years that followed when you really realized how significant it was?
One of the first times I realized how important the case was when I was in nursing school and I saw the case in my nursing school textbook. And then it really kind of hit me how this case was more significant than I had realized, and that nurses need to learn about the case because it has to do with students' rights and children's rights. And teachers learn about this case. Superintendents learn about this case. Principals, lawyers learn about this case because of the issue of the rights of youth.
This is Camp Make a Difference on Talk of Iowa this hour, and our camp counselor is Mary Beth Tinker. She and her brother and others were involved in a protest in 1965 that ended up leading to the landmark Supreme Court case, Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District, which guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. And it's a case that is still cited frequently today. This hour, we're talking about how young people can make a difference in their communities. And of course, I know that we're having telephone problems all over the state of Iowa right now. But if you can call us, if you'd like to share a story about a young person that you know who's made a difference, or something that you've done, maybe something you've done in the past, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowa.com. iowapublicradio.org. And Mary Beth, I want to tell you about another student that I talked to recently, Nina Levizos-Dikopoulos, also of Iowa City. She was the co-executive editor for the Little Hawk School newspaper at City High, and she won a Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award for work that she did digging into suspensions of Black students. She decided that she wanted to see if Black students in her school district were getting suspended at higher rates than white students in the district. She learned that they were nearly two times as likely to be suspended, and she did a great deal of investigative journalism to learn about the experiences of her fellow students. She did get some pushback from administrators, but again, thanks to you and your friends and siblings, it was her right to publish this story, and it's garnered national attention. So there's one young person standing up and doing something about a problem that they see. And Mary Beth, so often with young people, decisions are made for you, and that's normal and okay, because it is the job of adults to make decisions and try to make things safe or make rules to keep you safe and things like that. But so often young people don't have control over their lives. And if they see a problem, it can feel really difficult to try to do something about it. So in addition to having the courage of your convictions to stand up and say something, how do you suggest that a young person get started in, you want to be right when you make a stand, you know? So you have to do your homework and you have to do a little bit of research. You can't just spout off, right?
Well, sometimes spouting off isn't so bad. And I wouldn't be, you know, worried about making a mistake or, you know, because if you wait till everything is perfectly in place, you may never do it. That's the problem. So you have to take a little bit of risk, which is one thing that students are so good at. But I'm really glad to hear about the project on the suspensions and checking on that and using your skills and your privileges and your resources and all of that to do something like that. That's really important. There's so much going on in the area of racial inequality, racism, and it's really heartening to see that that is happening. But, yeah, I mean, first you can connect with, if you have an issue that you care about, you know, find out what's already going on in your community, maybe just in your school, or you could start something. There are so many kids all over the country as I travel around. They're starting clubs in their schools to deal with current issues. There are anti-racism clubs. There are environmental clubs. Girls' rights, there's just all kinds of things that are going on in the that you can start, you know, a club and do something about it. And it doesn't have to be perfect when you start. You can just, you know, do something.
Well, and I've been sharing stories with you, and I have more to share as the hour goes on. But I know that you have worked with so many students all over the country. And in 2016, when you were traveling around and marking that 50th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision of Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District, you connected with the students who were organizing March for Our Lives. Tell me a little bit about some of those experiences.
Yes, that was has been really an amazing experience going to them. And when I hang up with you, I'm going to be on a call with all of them. It's a national call. And people can check it out, too. It's through the Washington Post. You can be on a call with March for Our Lives about voting issues this fall and how students can get involved with helping register voters or getting people out to vote. So March for Our Lives. I know it's really been something because I had visited them a few years before the shooting. I went to Marjorie Stoneman High School to talk. I was invited there by their journalism program. And so when the shooting happened, of course, I contacted them right away and got back in touch with them. But the issue of gun violence is just so important in our country. And I was a trauma nurse with teenagers. And so I would be the nurse taking care of so many kids and teenagers who have been shot. And we have such a high number in our country of people in general, but especially kids and teenagers. And so I was so heartened to see that they were speaking up about that and that they're still working on that now. And I know there have been groups in Iowa, Students Demand Action.
And we're gonna pick this up in just a moment. We are going to take another short break. With me, Mary Beth Tinker. It's Camp Make a Difference on Talk of Iowa today. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's our final Talk of Iowa summer camp today. And of course, many of us are recovering from yesterday's terrible, terrible storm. And phone communication is pretty spotty all over the state today, so I know you may not be able to call. But if you have a story to share about a young person who is making a difference in their community, you can send us an email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or you can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. We'd love to hear your story. And our camp counselor today is Mary Beth Tinker, who, as a young person, protested the Vietnam War by wearing a black armband to school in Des Moines. She was suspended for that action, along with others in her group. And that led to the Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District case, a landmark Supreme Court decision that guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. And Mary Beth, just before the break, we were talking about the work that you've done with the students in Parkland and the March for Our Lives movement. You had been there before the school shooting that took so many lives, and you got back in touch with them after the shooting as they were organizing it and really trying to make a difference. And you also mentioned, of course, that that inspired students all over the country, including in Iowa, to speak out on that issue.
Yes, it's so important. And they came up to Des Moines, and we had a great event at the Iowa Historical Society, and thank you to them for hosting us. And actually a film, a documentary was made of them. It's called Raise Your Voice by Mary Beth Romlow. And they're still, I admire the way that they're continuing to speak up about this issue of gun violence.
You, in thinking about the work of those young people, it can feel like you can speak out and speak out and speak out and get a lot of people together to support your cause and not get a lot of movement on it. What do you say to young people about staying engaged and staying hopeful, even if it feels hopeless at times?
I know. Well, that's a major, you know, job that we have to do, is to keep our spirits up. And so, you know, there's various ways to do that. You know, nature is good for that, and have some juice and drink and eat healthy foods and keep yourself in shape and connect. I think connection is so important with relationship with friends. And I know it's really hard right now with COVID and the school, especially for teenagers. It's really hard not to be able to connect as much as usual, because that's something that's so important in your development, this connection with friends and things. But, you know, try to find some ways around it and not be hard on yourself and do things that are good for you and healthy for you. But I know
it's
not
okay
so
easy to also be a kid, right? Even if you care
Absolutely.
Deeply about things in the world, you should still be a child and have fun.
Well, that's the thing that's so great about it. It goes together. Because so many kids are being really creative about the things that they're doing, having little plays or skits or artwork, music, songs about the environment, or, you know, doing creative things that you can to make a difference as well. You can combine these things together, and that's when it's so powerful. Like Virginia, parts of Virginia a while back, they tried to cut the band program for the middle school kids. Well, the kids showed up at the council meeting with their empty clarinet cases and their empty saxophone cases. And they said, you know, without our band program, we can't play the music in our hearts. And it was so powerful because they spoke from the heart. So when kids speak for themselves, it's so powerful. Yes, we can be their allies and stand by young people. But when you young people speak for yourselves in the ways that you do, and using your creativity and your energy and your love for the world, and it's just so powerful.
I want to tell you about some of the young people that we were going to talk with this hour. So Raneem Hamad was going to be on the phone with us. And again, she's in Iowa City where the storm was terrible. Our other planned guest was in Cedar Rapids where the storm, or in Marion where the storm was just horrendous. So Raneem Hamad is a rising senior at Columbia University in New York City. And she was a senior at West High in Iowa City when Donald Trump was elected president of the United States in 2016. And following that election, she and other members of her family were targets of hate speech. She was born in Oman. Her parents are originally from Sudan. And she, along with her sister, decided that it was important to speak out at school. They helped to found the group Students Against Hate and Discrimination. They also got very politically involved in protests in the community. And she was also the school valedictorian, and she's been at Columbia University for the last few years. But this summer, she's been back in Iowa organizing Black Lives Matter protests in Iowa City as part of the Iowa Freedom Riders and negotiating with city leaders in Iowa City. So it's exciting to see that she found her voice as a senior in high school and can carry that forward. And for so many people who do get involved and become politically active, I mean, that becomes a big part of their lives. But people do that, and that's not necessarily their course of study. That's not necessarily their career. This is something that you can be engaged in without giving your whole life to it, right?
Exactly. No matter what you do with your life, it's important to also connect politically, because everything is affected by decisions that are made in your local school board or in the city council or in the state legislature or in the Senate or wherever it is. These laws and policies are going to affect your life, whatever your life is about or whatever you do. If you work at McDonald's or if you're a teacher or if you babysit for a living, the way children are treated in our society is going to be important and affected by the policies and laws that come out. Right now, children and teenagers are the most likely in our society to live in poverty, for example. So how does that happen? It doesn't just happen. It's the result of decisions and policies that have been made. And so whatever you do with your life, yes, it's important to step up and pay attention and to be involved in the decisions that get made. Because why shouldn't kids also be involved in these decisions? And when kids are cut out, it hurts not only the young people, but also all of us who are cheated from the views and the creativity and the energy of young people and the sense of fairness that young people have and the ability to see when things are wrong, too. That's the thing, too. A seventh grader told me in Ohio 2 years back that, you know, she said, "We're just fresher." And I said, "Yes, you are." Because she said, "I think that's why we see things that some adults get used to."
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, kids have fresh eyes. They haven't gotten used to some of the unfairness and the way that we do things that is very hurtful to people sometimes.
Now, I'm not sure that Tinker v. Des Moines was actually referenced in a very recent case, but just last week, a young lady in Georgia posted pictures of her school's hallway. The school went back to school, and she posted pictures from the hallway of the school showing students without masks and students packed together right next to each other and sharing her fears that this isn't safe and we could get sick with COVID-19. And she was suspended from school, although that was rescinded after a couple of days. Did that feel familiar to you, Mary Beth, in seeing what was happening?
Yes, I was following that, and I was so glad that her name is Hannah Waters, that she spoke up about the conditions in her school, because it's really about young people having a right to advocate for their own interests. And that is something that children and teenagers must be able to do and must have the right to do. She was advocating for her interests, which was not to get sick with COVID and not to spread it to the community. And so in order to do that, kids have so many great great tools at their disposal. The social media, it's so powerful. And so I was really glad that she did that. I heard on Iowa Public Radio just before this program, the child COVID cases are on the rise, and 340,000 children have been diagnosed with COVID. And it's on the front page of a newspaper here in Washington, D.C., where I live, this morning, about how there are so many cases of children. And it turns out that, of course, black kids and brown kids, kids of color, low-income kids are more likely to suffer the bad effects, and also even to get it in the first place, because their families are more likely to be out and be essential workers. And so the COVID issue is a very, very important issue for young people and affects you all so much. So I was really glad that she was doing that. And I think every student should speak up about the conditions or what's going on in their school, your opinions about whether school should be online, how we could do it. Kids have great ideas about how to do this. You could contribute and be part of the school board, and you know, or you don't even have to do that. You can just speak up and do something, you know, speak, make a letter or write a project or make a,
well, and in this day and age, wearing a mask is making a difference. Just doing something small like that as well. Let's get to the phones. Ruth is on the line in Ames, speaking of kind actions that may not be big, but probably put some real smiles on people's faces yesterday. Hi, Ruth.
Good. Hi, Charity. And hi. Hello to you also, I guess.
Hello.
You wanted to share your story?
Yes. We here in Ames, in central Iowa, also bore the brunt of that terrifying storm that swept the state yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was finished about midday, and our granddaughter Elizabeth, who lives here in town, surveyed the aftermath, and she responded right away. Elizabeth works in a gourmet cookie shop in the local mall, and she works there part-time. She went up to her workplace, which was closed because of the power outage, but went ahead and purchased about 3 dozen of their designer cookies, packaged them up in groups of 4, and went around town distributing these treats to people, families who were affected by the storm, out cleaning up damage to their homes, to their yards, cleaning up. And just generally, most of us were pretty numb and in shock. And here's a young person who knew right away that she could do something to kind of serve her community and, you know, offer what she could as a young person, kind of in the form of a compassionate gesture, a sense of bonding with people when they're having trouble.
Yeah, Ruth, thank you so much for sharing that. I hope you and your family are okay, and you're without power still, I would guess.
Yes, we're still without power. We lost some major, beautiful, mature trees, but our home is intact. Our families are in good shape, so we count our blessings for sure.
Well, Ruth, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. And what a beautiful action. And I think sometimes young people, when they look at the things in life that they want to change and want to do, they may feel helpless, like it's too big for them to tackle. And I think Ruth's story gives us a beautiful example that you don't have to tackle the whole mountain. You can just do a little piece of the work when you see a problem. Right, Mary Beth?
Yes, thanks for calling, Ruth. I think that's great, and give my best wishes to your granddaughter. I think it's really great, and I do think it's also good to keep working on it and go kind of even beyond and find out why are all these storms going on and what can we do at that level as well to prevent things. As a nurse, we're always thinking about how to prevent problems.
Well, and it's Ruth, I happen to know, is also a nurse, so you share that.
That's great.
Well.
So you know what I'm talking about. We want to prevent problems and deal with them after they happen. Both, it's really great at both aspects.
So we have just a couple of minutes left here, and I have so many other young people I wanted to tell you about this hour. Elizabeth Lowe was going to join us, and she this summer has decided to teach young people how to cook because she was worried that so many young people would be at home on their own and not know how to prepare healthy meals. Mm-hmm. So she's created a cookbook that's being distributed for free through local restaurants, and she's also been volunteering at feeding lunches to youth locations and really Great. Making a difference in that way. There's a wonderful story about a group of students in Carlisle, Iowa, who decided to stand up to bullying in their school, and they mm-hmm. created a club called Joyology, where their message was to spread positivity, acceptance, joy, and kindness among other students. There are just so many stories mm-hmm. Of young people making a difference. And I think right now, people do feel disconnected and they may feel extra helpless yeah. and alone, but it is exciting to see mm-hmm. that young people can raise their voices and make a difference. And if somebody is feeling discouraged right now, what do you want them to remember?
I want them to remember that you are connected to young people all over the world, or if whatever age you are. You're connected to people all over the world who are trying to take us towards a better way of doing things. And we can all, you know, look at how the world is today. And we don't have to accept this. This, even the COVID could have been, it's so preventable. As a public health nurse and a nurse, I just feel that it's really preventable. If we put more emphasis on public health in our society, we can change the things that need to be changed. And I want to add, Charity, too, before we go, that if anyone would like me to speak on a virtual call or anything like that, write to me at tinkertour@gmail.com. And I'm going to be doing a number of calls this fall as school starts up again, and I'll be happy to speak with students at your school. So if there are teachers, parents, students that would like to reach me, write to me, and I'll write you back.
Yeah, and you'll also be part of a session October 6th sponsored by the Hoover Library in West Branch, part of the National Archives and Presidential Library's Distance Learning Program as well. Mary Beth Tinker, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and best wishes to everyone. And I hope that everything goes well with the storm aftermath and that everyone gets their power back and that things go well.
Thank you so much, Mary Beth Tinker. This has been Talk of Iowa Summer Camp. Camp, make a difference today.